Pleasure to come together in an assembly of the saints and worship together to sing praises to God and listen to His Word. We're grateful for you being with us, especially our visitors this morning, but we're always happy to have anyone come and worship with us as we attempt to glorify God. This morning I want to approach a subject having to do especially with things that will help us to understand the promise of eternal life that we have. The Bible refers to the fact that God knows those that are His. And He recognizes that through whatever means God chooses, He's able to understand those who belong to Him. I want to be in that number. I'm not embarrassed to say that. I'm not ashamed to say that. I want to be in that number. However God chooses to know my name, I'd like for Him to know my name. And I'd like for you to think of the same thing, that God knows your name and that you're in a right relationship with God. So the Bible refers again a number of times to something called the Book of Life. And I recognize that this is a spiritual idea. I don't believe there's a bookkeeper up there named Peter that is having a pen and ink and writing your names in a book. But God certainly knows those that are His. And that's a wonderful thing to recognize. And I want to be a part of that and have my name there. In Exodus chapter 32, the Bible says, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." Here's Moses pleading for the children of Israel. They've been hard-hearted, they've been rebellious, and God was about to destroy all of Israel and start over again with Moses. And Moses pleaded for Israel. It shows the magnitude of his work. He pleaded, "Just wipe me out of the book of life rather than do away with all of Israel." And the fact that he understood that there is indeed a book of life. In Hebrews 12 and verse 23, "To the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven." And if you ever ask yourself the question, is my name registered in heaven? Is your name in the book of life? That is something that is so crucial to think about. Those who are in the book of life are those who will go to heaven. And so without playing games or emphasizing something too greatly, this is something that each of us should be concerned about. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, "Nevertheless, a solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His." And I mentioned that a couple of times already, but it is certainly a biblical passage. And regardless of how that is true, then I recognize that it is true. I don't have to know all the inner workings of God's ministry that He has toward us to be able to understand what He says. I can understand that God knows the people of God. Now, the reason why I think that's important is because we know a lot of situations in temporal life, in secular life, where someone gets overlooked. I don't think you've ever been overlooked by the tax man, but there are occasions where somebody will be overlooked and left out of something, and you felt like maybe it was left out unfairly. What we have to understand is that the God of heaven, who knows all things, knows those that belong to Him. None are going to be lost. None are going to be overlooked. They're all going to be a part of that great army who are registered in heaven. And so when they look at this, the importance then of doing that, because in Revelation 21 verse 27, the Bible tells us that only those whose names are in the book of life will go to heaven. So we're not talking about options. We're not talking about something that may or may not happen. Recognize that this is what God has set up to identify His people. In Revelation 21 and in verse 27, "There shall be no means enter into anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those are written in the Lamb's book of life." So here's a statement that I'm talking about this morning that means something very special to me, as it should be very special to you. I want to be in that book. I want my name to be written by God. I'd like to be registered in heaven. And I think that a lot of people in this world play games with God. Jesus was very critical in His day of the hypocrites, those who played. As you understand, the word hypocrite in the original Greek had to do with an actor. And back in those days, an actor would take a face and put it up in the face and pretend to be that particular person or thing, and he would act out that role. And that's what a hypocrite does. A hypocrite puts on a religious face, but it doesn't mean anything inside, and so he acts out a religious attitude when he really doesn't have an attitude. Matthew 23 was very critical of the hypocrites. Jesus spoke again and again about those. And I recognize that some people could put on a face that will fool people. But nobody's fooling God, and so only those names that are found in the book of life will enter heaven. And those not found in the book of life will be cast into hell. This illustrates the goodness and severity of God. Paul talked about this in the book of Romans. God is severe toward those who are rebellious and those who will not obey the gospel of Christ. He is severe toward those who are ungodly, those who are worldly. And to recognize that God is a righteous God helps us to understand that his hatred of sin means that his punishment for that kind of sin is eternal torment in hell. But the goodness of God is, as John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also." So in Revelation 20 and in verse 15, the record says, "Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, that's just clear. There's no debate about that. There's no misunderstanding about that. God is making a determination of those who are his people, and we need to be sure that I'm among that number. I'd like to add that we don't confuse the book of life with the local directory. I think sometimes they are members of some churches, and I'm making no personal references, whose name is on the roll of the local church, who are not faithful Christians at all. Otherwise, we wouldn't understand the role of the hypocrite. And 3 John, as John was writing to the church where he had been, the man Diotrephes would not allow his disciples to read the writings of John. And those that would accept the writings of John and the teaching of John, he cast out of the church. Well, he would probably be the most prominent member of that church, but he wasn't in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm not making a personal judgment upon that. It's the idea that he fought the Apostle John. He taught things that were not right. He allowed sin to be in his life and into the church. And that man, though he was a member of the local church, was not a member, did not have his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to make a distinction just here between the church universal and the local church. We need to understand that distinction. We noticed Hebrews 12 just a moment ago, where it talked about those who are registered in heaven. That refers to what we call the church universal, the saved of every age, all the saved. And when you become a Christian, God adds you to that number. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says that those who were saved were added to the church. That is, their name was enrolled in heaven. They were a member of the church universal, the saved body of people. The Bible talks about that part of the church. In Matthew 16:18, where Jesus promised to build my church, he wasn't talking about a local church. He was talking about the relationship of the saved or the universal church, those registered in heaven. When you become a Christian, your name is entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, once I become a child of God, then I must choose where I'm going to worship. And in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul made it clear that after he was converted, he attempted to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem. The idea of getting into a local congregation is taught in the Bible, that I should be a part of a local work where fellow Christians meet together and edify one another. And I can't join the church universal. I'm added to the church universal when I become a Christian. When my sins are washed away, God adds me to his list of people who are saved. Then I want to associate with people in the local church who share the common faith of the gospel, who want to live right and encourage one another, and that's what this local church is. So each of us individually would be a member of the Church Universal as we're saved and added to that church. Then because we have lived in this community, we are joined together in a local work. So we want to be sure that the Lamb's Book of Life is not confused with the local directory. Also, that with regard to those in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's no partiality. Equal opportunity. We hear that sometimes the government requires those who are going to employ someone have hire equal opportunity employees, EOE. You'll see that in ads. But the good thing about this, and we talked about this in the book of Romans some this morning, both Jew and Gentile. I've made this point often. I hope that it's something that impresses you like it does me. I'm a Gentile. I don't know if I have any Jewish blood in me or not. I'm a Gentile, I suppose. I'm not of the Jewish nation. And the division was either Jew or non-Jew. A Jew or a Gentile. And when the Lord of Heaven sent Peter to preach to Cornelius, by the grace of God, Gentiles were brought into the kingdom. And the book of Romans has a lot to say about that. And the fact that now then, those who have been in the kingdom of God are spiritual Jews. And we are now the sons of Abraham, and we inherit the promises given to Abraham through Christ Jesus. So I'm so glad to think in terms that there's no partiality. Those registered in heaven are not just Jews. People of every nation, every tribe, every color, every tongue are part of that great universal body of Christians, and their name is enrolled in heaven. Hope you understand this. Only you can keep yourself out of the book of life. It's open. Everybody is invited in. God has given us the invitation. We sing an invitation song at the end of a sermon. It isn't necessary that we have that, but it's something to make it convenient for people to respond to the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, you read about the Philip and the eunuch. There was no song of invitation. Whenever Philip taught the Ethiopian the truth, he said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" He understood that God was calling him. Well, God is calling us today, and the same call is the gospel of Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says we're called by the gospel. So everybody is invited in. In fact, you have an expression that we all recognize that tells us that in Mark 16 and Matthew 28 and Luke 24. It's called the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the open invitation to put your name in the book of life. Now, in the time of John, as he was preaching to the Jews, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," the Bible says that they did not respond to that because they rejected the baptism of John. Well, the baptism of John has been fulfilled, and now we have the baptism of Christ in the New Testament, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the baptism of Christ. And those who will receive that are going to be enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now again, let's not play games. I remember in Sherman, Texas, a lady in the church had a brother who was very sick. And I think I mentioned this one time, but it really stuck with me. I think, and I'll leave this up to him and God, but I went over to the hospital and talked with him a long time. And he decided to be baptized, and we got in an ambulance. He was on his deathbed. And we took him to a place where there was water and baptized him. And after I left, the man that was in the room with him later told me, he said, "Well, if there's anything to it, I've done it." Don't play games with the Lord. What do you mean, if there's anything to it? These words came out of Jesus' own mouth. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You either believe it or you don't. You've either done it or you haven't. And to pretend to go through the motion. Now again, God knows that man's heart. I don't. But I wouldn't want to be playing games with God about such a thing as this. We need to be very serious about it. Only you can keep yourself out of the book of life. And really nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter if you're going to live to be 106, or 15. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or whatever. What else matters is, as Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Solomon sums up the meaning of life. He was a wonderfully wise man, yet he was so foolish in some things, as we all are. But he tried everything in life he could think of. He built great buildings. He took pride in building things. And he took great pride in growing things. He took great pride in books and wisdom. He had tremendous amounts of money. He said in the days of Solomon, silver was like rocks in the city of Jerusalem because there was so much gold. Silver had lost its value. He experimented with all kinds of lust. There are 1,000 women in his harem. And you think about all the things that Solomon did, learning, he hoped, the meaning of life. And when he finally came to the summation of all of that in chapter 12 and verse 13, he said, the whole meaning of life is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's the meaning of life. So that's what we're saying this morning. It really, what matters is my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, it can be taken out. That's what Moses said in Exodus 32. And you can lose that eternal life because of wickedness. We see that in Acts chapter 5 and other passages where people fell away from the faith. But we need to recognize how important it is. Getting our names into the book of life is what the Bible tells us. And that's the wonderful thing about the Bible. God didn't put eternal life out here without telling us how to reach it. Eternal life is something that I must choose. And we talk about grace and faith. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 speaks of the fact that we're saved by grace through faith. My view of that is grace is God's part. Faith is my part. Grace and faith working together. Grace is God's hand reaching down. Faith is man's hand reaching up. And when we finally connect by the grace of God in my faith, then I'll do what the Bible tells me to do. Here's what the Bible says. This is not something that's Church of Christ doctrine. This is not something that we have a creed written down somewhere. This is what the Bible says to do to enter the book of life. We must believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. We must repent of our sins. We all are sinners. We've all done things sinful. We need to repent of those things. Put them out of our life and look to a better life. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you'll all, like manner, perish. We need to confess our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 says confession is made with the mouth. Matthew chapter 10 also speaks of the fact that if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before the angels of heaven. And that refers to the judgment day that we're all going to see and be a part of. Have you ever acknowledged vocally that you believe in Jesus Christ? You can't enter the book of life without it. You must show your allegiance. You have your faith. You have repentance. You have your open allegiance to Jesus Christ. Tell everybody about it. Now, in the first century, a lot of people died because of that. And now then, some people are dying because they believe in Jesus when they get their head cut off by some Muslims. You have to recognize this is not something that's just something to be done. It expresses a sentiment of the heart. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Then be baptized into Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, verse 16, also Acts 2, verse 38. Other passages, Acts 22, verse 16. Paul told Ananias, why waitest thou? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins. We live in an age where grace has been made real cheap. And it's not cheap. Grace of God cost Him, the Son of God's, life. But people cheapen the grace when they say, well, you don't have to be baptized. You just need to confess your sinner's prayer, that I'm a sinner and I believe in Jesus. That cheapens grace because that leaves the blood of Christ out. The blood of Christ is only received and experienced and realized when you're baptized into the death of Christ. That's why baptism, pardon me, is not a ritual. It is not something we do because of church creeds. Every one of us needs to have the blood of Christ applied to our life. And that's how God knows those that are His. When you're baptized into Christ, Romans chapter 6 says you're baptized into His death. Now, it doesn't say you're baptized into His birth. It doesn't say you're baptized into His life. It doesn't say you're baptized into His miracles. But particularly it says you're baptized into His death. Why? That's where the blood was shed. That's where we reach the blood. So as Jesus died and was buried in a tomb and was raised to a new life, so the sinner is dead to sin, is buried in the waters of baptism, rises to walk in new life. And it's a new life where your name is enrolled in heaven. I don't know how to make it any more clear. I don't know how to explain it any simpler than what the Bible is saying. And I'd like for you to ask yourself the question right now. Have I done those things that God wants me to do to put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Rich or poor, black or white, young or old. Nothing matters but being in the Lamb's Book of Life, because the end of time is coming and I need to recognize that I want to be among God's saved people. We will sing the song of invitation this morning. If you'd like to respond to become a Christian and have your name added to the Book of Life, we'd like to encourage you to come to the front and state your faith in Jesus publicly. Let people know, I believe in Jesus. We'll take you to a place where there's water and baptize you into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We invite you to come while we stand together and sing that song of invitation.